before I start today's talk, I want to share with you a little bit about what I did last night. And what I did was I attended the meet and greet with Governor Walker with the Interfaith Council. Thank you. My mind went blank. And it was a very interesting, there were over 100 people there from different denominations. And a gentleman from the Muslim faith and the rabbi. And I'm uncooked. And there you go, is that better? Woo-hoo. Yeah, and the okay, now I've lost it all. So the gentleman from the First Presbyterian Church, the minister there, and the rabbi, and the gentleman from the Muslim Center, and Governor Walker all spoke. And what they talked about was how much religion is like politics, and that what we need to look for is not our differences, but to honor our sameness, and that we all worship one God. And it was really a great, you know, it was lasted about an hour and a half, and it was really a great opportunity to see all of these people. There's a gentleman from the Hindu community. We have a couple people from a Wicca community and various communities around Anchorage that attended. So I just wanted to share that with you, that it was kind of a great experience. So I'm going to start this morning with a story about a little boy named Johnny. And it was Palm Sunday, and he was sick. So his parents got a babysitter, and Johnny stayed home. And his brother and sister came in, and they were carrying these palms and waving them around. And his mom explained to him that those palms were what they used to greet Jesus when he came into town. And he said, "Doesn't it figure? The one day I'm sick and he shows up." So I have a little story, a little reading from Dancing in the Empty Spaces by David Rankin. And he says, "Palm Sunday is found whenever we are serving a noble and unpopular cause with selfless devotion, holding to the ideals of truth and justice. Palm Sunday is found whenever we are seeking to uplift the fallen, to comfort the brokenhearted, to strengthen and encourage the weak and the homeless. Palm Sunday is found whenever we are working bravely and persistently in the face of abuse and criticism to establish more equitable relations in the world. Palm Sunday is found whenever we are sacrificing our lives in behalf of what we believe to the service of all humanity. That is Palm Sunday." Now, the Gnostics say that it doesn't matter whether the Palm Sunday story is true or not. It doesn't matter if it's literal history or if it's strictly symbolic. What is important to us is to focus on what these stories represent. That these events recount an internal experience of archetypal function. It doesn't matter if it's historical or if it's mythical, because they have a very deep meaning. We all of us have our moments of glory, and we all have our moments of condemnation. Now think about this. One of the classes we took at ministry school was world religions, and what the teacher told us is you really cannot understand what was going on at that time until you put on the sandals of the people who were living there. So you have to get in the Wayback Machine and go back and experience what was going on. It's the week before Palm Sunday, and my understanding is the climate was not conducive to palms in Jerusalem at that time. So it was some kind of tree Sunday, but we picked palms. And mostly what they laid down in front of the donkey was garments, but Garment Sunday didn't seem like a very fitting name, so they went with Palm Sunday. So the week before Palm Sunday, Jesus and his crew headed towards Jerusalem with thousands of other pilgrims who were going to Jerusalem, and they were going to celebrate Passover. The difference was Jesus stopped along the way to perform a few miracles, a little healing and, you know, that sort of thing. So as he got closer to town, he sent a couple of his disciples ahead of him. Now, you understand that I'm thinking there must have been some rich person that was, you know, paying for all this stuff for the food and to sustain all these people when you think about what the economy at that time was like. But he sent two of his disciples ahead of him, and they came back with a donkey and a colt of a donkey. And then the big day came, and Jesus climbed on that little colt on top of some people's garments, and he rode into Jerusalem. Well, at the same time that Jesus was riding into Jerusalem, the Roman soldiers were riding in from the other directions, all in their fancy garb and their beautiful stallions and their magnificent appearance. And here is Jesus seated on a donkey, as was called for in the prophecies. And as he's moving along and this procession progresses, the crowd goes nuts. They're screaming, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And they're waving their branches and they're shouting and they're jumping up and down. Think of what kind of a fantastic parade that must have been. We have parades here, but I don't know that they would compare. So all this time, here's Jesus riding on a little donkey colt. He kind of waves and smiles at people because he knows what's coming. He knows what's in store for him. And this donkey colt represents humility. The stallions represent the ego, and this little donkey coat represents humility. And Jesus does, you know, these people are sure that Jesus is coming to save them from Roman oppression. He's going to overturn the government. They're going to have enough food to eat. Things are going to be better. It didn't quite turn out that way, and they were a bit disappointed. He did begin to begin to change the status quo. He turned over the tables in the temple, and he had a little fit about the fact that they were selling pilgrims sacrificial animals and charging money in the coin of the day. He didn't even try to overthrow the Romans, and you know, that pretty much didn't sit too well with the people who had visions of him saving them. He wasn't doing what was expected of him. And how often do we do that? We put up expectations on people. Jesus probably knew what their expectations were, but the people we put them on don't even know what the expectations are. And then we get all upset because they didn't live up to them. So this story is not about Jesus. Well, not just about Jesus. And it's not about the crowds or the people in the crowds who went to see Jesus. This story is about us. This story is about you and me. It's not just about the people who are whooping it up because here comes this man to save them from their destitution. Now, if you think back on the time, at that time, the poorest among us are not as destitute as the people who lived then. They didn't have soup kitchens. They didn't have food banks. They didn't have any of that stuff. They could barely get enough food to nourish themselves. And they were looking for a savior. And that's what they thought Jesus was going to do for them. And don't we all do that when we're feeling a bit oppressed? We look outside of ourselves. We look for someone to save us. We look for someone to save us. So somehow this gets to become a story about us. And I'm going to talk about what that great entrance represented metaphysically. Now, what it represented and how it compares to your personal journey, because we each have a personal journey, don't we? Jerusalem represents our abiding consciousness of inner peace, and aren't we? That's where our journey is heading. We're heading to try to obtain inner peace. And how do we do that? Well, a lot of us do that through prayer and through meditation. A lot of us do that through sitting in the silence and going within. We do it by listening to meditative music. We do what is necessary to achieve inner peace. And Jesus at this stage in his ministry represents the natural awareness of our consciousness. of our Christ nature. And that's also what we try to do. That's why we come to this center. That's why we read books. That's why we take classes. That's why we do things that bring us positive results. We are working and studying and praying to raise our consciousness, to be aware of our own individual Christ nature. And the donkey. The donkey represents the willingness to let go of our ego, the willingness to surrender, the willingness to not let our ego be in charge, and moving into a higher state of consciousness. We don't have to have that stallion. We don't have to have that stallion. And the palm signifies strength and receptivity and, of course, enthusiasm. Jumping up and down and waving the palms, that has to be enthusiasm. And the crowds represent the multitude of thoughts, don't we have, that go through our head, that interfere sometimes with our achieving that sense of harmony. Our thoughts are close to being raised to that higher level, but sometimes they're just not quite there yet. Not quite there yet. And hosannas. The hosannas represent our spiritual celebratory energy and our freedom from thoughts of error. And the trip to Jerusalem represents our intention to crucify or to release those things that no longer serve us, to get rid of the temptations, to let go of wrong thinking, to let go of wrong action. That is what the trip to Jerusalem represents. And the temple represents our spiritually revitalized ego and driving out the money changers. They're kind of like the telemarketers, aren't they? The money changers. So driving out the money changers represents the cleansing of our mind and our body and our soul of our error thoughts, the cleansing of our minds, our body, and our soul of our habits that no longer serve us, and elevating our consciousness. That's what I think Palm Sunday represents. It's our conscious surrender to our own divinity. As we move through this Palm Sunday, it reawakens experience, this myth, the story. It reawakens our faith, and it stirs our city in turmoil, our consciousness, and we sense there is something wonderful at work within each and every one of us, even though we don't know what it is yet. There's something wonderful at work within us. It awakens our faith in our fellow man. It awakens our faith in God. And as we awaken that faith in God, we can see that all is good and all is God despite any appearance. We can move beyond the appearance to the truth. And this inner wisdom transforms us, and it leads us forward. It leads us into our transformation and our cleansing. And that's what Jesus is driving out of the money lenders in this story means. It means cleansing ourselves. It means, we talk a lot here about planting the seed, the soil, and the plant, and we plant these seeds, and we talk about having to weed the garden. And so when we have these thoughts that come in that are unlike what we choose to have, we need to weed the garden. We need to throw out the money changers. The power of spirit helps us. It helps us in getting rid of our old tapes. It helps us in getting rid of our old actions. It helps us in getting rid of our old habits and our old beliefs and that old programming, you know, the one that goes around in your head that says you can't do this, you can't do that. It helps us to get rid of that. It helps us to get ready to make our very own grand entrance into our own Jerusalem, the next level of our being. And so how does that begin? How do we begin to do that? Well, one of the ways that we begin to do that, I understand, is forgiveness. We forgive ourselves and we forgive others. At this time of year, you know, in many Christian philosophy, it's a time for giving things up and for penance. It's a time for atonement. But what I think we really need is we need a second chance. Like when we were kids and we got to do the do-overs. I need a do-over. That's what I need. I need a do-over. I want the opportunity to do things better next time. I want an opportunity to become more. And so Maya Angelou shared some thoughts on the theme of forgiveness. I don't know if I continue, even today, always liking myself. It is very important for every human being to forgive herself or himself, because if you live, you will make mistakes. It is inevitable. Isn't that the truth? But once you do and you see the mistake, then you forgive yourself and say, well, if I'd have known better, I'd have done better. That's all. So you say to people who you think you may have injured, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And then you say to yourself, I'm sorry. If we all hold on to the mistake, we can't see our own glory in the mirror, because we have the mistake between our faces in the mirror and we can't see what we're capable of being. You can ask yourself to forgive others. You can ask others to forgive you. But the real forgiveness is in the forgiveness of forgiving yourself, of you forgiving yourself. I think Jesus as a human being, and not the only Son of God, but the Son of the only God, just like you and I are children of the only God, daughters and sons of the only God, individualized expressions of the divine. We are here on this journey to live out our humanity. We are here to have those opportunities to do the do-overs. We are here to create a world in which we choose to be. We need to see our own glory in the mirror. We have to remove those clouds, those doubts, and those judgments that are between us and that reflection of us in the mirror. We get to see our own glory. So what does Palm Sunday mean to you? What does it mean to you? To me, Palm Sunday means we are all on the journey. We're all on the journey. And we are all the Jesus on the donkey. We're all, in my Palm Sunday story, we are all humble beings. And we are all the folks in the crowd. We're all the folks in the crowd who are trying to touch the hem of that person that's riding by on the donkey. What we don't understand sometimes is we are it. We are it. And I have to remind myself that Jesus was not perfect all the time. He shed tears. He had doubts. I mean, the story in the Bible says, why have you forsaken me? So he had his doubts, just as we do. And to know that we can, just as he did, we can move beyond those when we celebrate our humanity and we celebrate our divinity. The Palm Sunday story to me is cause for a celebration. It's cause for a celebration for each and every one of us awakening. We're all awakening to our own divinity, to our own wholeness, to the light within each and every one of us. Each of us is an individualized expression of God. And so I'm going to share something that Ernest Holmes wrote. And this is really fitting, I think, for this journey. The call, this I saw, or else some inner presence made it known to me. The universe is filled with life. The air, the sky, the sea, teem with intelligence, with majesty and might, and deep within me some subtle inner sight. Behold and sees, comprehends and knows the all, nor fears nor falters, but answers the divine call. To be as one beyond the bounds of time and space, to overcome the bondage of the human race and leap with trust undaunted free into the deeps of that infinite sea, whose waters calm are ready to receive those who in simple faith believe. We are all called. We are all called on our particular journey. And to me, that's what Palm Sunday represents, a time for us to be able to celebrate that call, to celebrate our journey, to know that we are going to achieve the highest and best that is possible for us. And moving forward, growing our consciousness, living in light, living in love, accepting one another. It sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? We just need to put it into action. So I'd like to ask you if you would please join me in prayer. And as you join me in prayer, I'd like you to take in your mind and in your heart anything or anyone who is heavy on your mind and speak them into this circle. You can speak them aloud or you can speak them silently. But knowing that as we pray together here today, we are praying for you, we are praying for them, we are praying for any circumstance that needs to be uplifted. So I'd like to ask you to please breathe. Inhaling that essence of the divine. Feeling it as it moves over your throat, through your body, feeling that divine presence, because it is in that presence that we live and breathe and have our being. It permeates every cell and fiber of our being. It is God. It is light. It is love. It is peace. It is joy. It is the Alpha and the Omega. There is nothing outside of God. And so with each breath, we breathe in divinity. I am one with that divinity. And if it is true for me, it is true for each and every person here today. One with the divine, whole, perfect, complete, filled with light, filled with love, filled with joy and peace. Each breath allows that powerful presence to be known as it moves through us. And so as I speak my word this day, I speak my word for health and wholeness. I know that each and every person here is an individualized expression of God, whole, perfect, and complete. And those who are absent from us today, they too are whole, perfect, and complete exactly the way they are. There is nothing to heal, only the truth of their being to be revealed. I know that each of us, as we move through this week, moves through it strengthened and supported by the divine, filled with the light and the love of spirit, that all of our activities are activities of love, activities of God. I know that we are supported and strengthened by that holy, holy one. I know that the ground upon which we walk is holy ground because we are standing upon it and we are individualized expressions of God, and that we move through each day with ease and grace and light and love, that God makes straight the way for each and every one of us, and I'm so grateful. I'm grateful for that wisdom of the divine as it moves through us. I am so grateful for that light and that love as it fills our lives this day. I am so grateful for the peace and the joy that abound within each of us and for the abundance that God showers down upon us. I simply give thanks. And I release this word to the working of the law, knowing it is already done and complete in the eyes and in the mind of spirit. It can be no other way. Please join me in affirming. And so it is. Amen.